good. That's good. Just looking at the time, I know that the video went for a while, so I promise I won't preach for long. Some of you look like you need a coffee already. Is everyone alive out there? Yes? All right. Well, like Dad said, I got here yesterday and Dad said, oh, if you want to speak, you can speak. And I was like, oh, you can do it. And then I was thinking about it, and just as I was thinking, this one passage of scripture kept coming to me, so I was like, oh, really couldn't be bothered. But then I was like, I kept thinking about it and kept thinking about it, so I said to Dad, oh, yeah, I'll share it. I've got a word that I really feel like God wants to share with us all today. So is that cool? Is that cool? I'm used to speaking to young people and my children who move constantly while I'm talking, so if you feel like moving a bit or answering back, you can answer back, so I know that you're all still awake and alive. Good. I can count on you. All right. So this morning I just wanted to talk about finding happiness. Is that okay? Does everyone, you know, I think we can all agree that everyone throughout life, all of humanity, are kind of on this search of happiness, aren't they? This search to try and find a sense of happiness, to kind of strive for it, or we all are kind of dreaming for this kind of sense of happiness, or all looking for this sense of happiness. And, you know, even in America, I think their Declaration of Rights, or whatever you would call it, says, you know, every American citizen is entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Have you seen that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness? It's a good movie, another tearjerker. But everyone kind of is on this pursuit, on this journey to kind of find happiness. It's like happiness is this destination that we're all trying to achieve. We're all trying to get there. And I've been thinking about this and, you know, often in conversation when you're talking to people, particularly young people, we do a lot of conversations with them about just getting them to dream about their future and to be able to see things outside of, you know, their current circumstances. We talk a lot about, you know, what do you want to achieve? What do you want to do? You know, and so what do you want to kind of pursue? What's going to make you happy? What's going to make you feel like you've achieved your dreams? And this is language that we kind of use all the time, don't we? It's kind of like the way that we're wired, the way that we think. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, absolutely nothing wrong with that. And the Bible tells us, doesn't it, to have vision, because without vision we perish, we wander, right? If we've got no direction, if we've got nothing that we're aiming for, we kind of wander aimlessly. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with, like, having that, you know, kind of future vision, that future dream, that future drive that you want to achieve. But the problem is that when we are trying to pursue something, when we are trying to pursue this sense of happiness, right, and pursue kind of means to just chase after and to keep kind of aim at, to strive at, to keep kind of chasing after. When you are trying to pursue this sense of happiness, in a sense, there's like almost kind of this constant pursuit, isn't there, in life? It's like, you know, if I get this, I'll be happy. And then when you get there, you know, like there's something else that you want that will make you happy. Is anyone else? Is this just me? Good. I can see a couple of heads nodding. And, you know, we could kind of refer to this, right, to like sometimes we live in the land of Ur, okay? E-R, right? I don't know. Is that called phonics? Does anyone know teaching? Yes? Oh, look, I'm learning. Okay, so, right, we can live in the land of Ur. So I'll throw a couple of Urs at you, right? Some of them might relate. So if I had a new car, I'd be happier. Anyone? I just got a new car, right? I'd be happier if my kids behaved better. Anyone? Yes. Everyone over in that corner particularly is lifting up their hands. All of you with your kids in Sunday school are like, yes, I can relax. I would be happier if my house was cleaner. Right? I'd be happier if I was skinnier. I'd be happier if my business was busier. I'd be happier if my husband was a better listener. What about this one? I'd tithe more if I was richer. You don't have to put your hand up. Might be a bit close to home. I'd serve more in church if my life was less busier. Silence. I'll stop. I'm getting too sensitive. But, you know, all these kind of things, right? I'd do this if I was skinnier. I'd do this if I was less busier. If I had this, I'd be much more happier. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And the point is, like, if you were richer, you'd still want to be even richer. Like, when I was in uni, I lived off, like, absolute pennies, like, absolutely nothing. And I was like, I can't wait to get a job because then I'll feel richer. I'll be able to do all this stuff. And then I got a job and I still had no savings. And then I got a better job where I had double the income and I still had no savings. And now I've got my income and Scott's income and I'm still wishing I could be richer. Is that right? You know, you can say, like, when I get to this point, like, here I am right now, but when I get to this point here, I know that I'm going to be happy. I'm going to find fulfillment. I'm going to find contentment. But the point is, when you get to the point, there's going to be something else that's going to make you happier. Am I making sense? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Like, this pursuit of happiness, this pursuit of striving for goals and visions and dreams, it's kind of like a lifetime commitment that we can't ever get to the end to, because there's always going to be something error than the error we were trying to get. Does that make sense? There's always going to be a skinnier, a healthier, a richer, a better listener, or whatever, a more behaved. Your kids could always behave a little better, right? There's always different errors that we can try and achieve. There's always these different errors that we can get better at that is going to mean that our happiness goal moves further and further away. So, you're really never going to arrive at your destination of happiness because you're always going to be more than you can chase, skinnier, richer, or busier. And like I said before, hopes and dreams and desires, like, they're not a bad thing. They're definitely not a bad thing. And they form the pillars for our life. They form the pillars for which we kind of build our house on. You know, vision is absolutely necessary. But if we spend our time and our lives constantly in this state where we're living in hope, constantly waiting, you know, asking for this season to change so that we can move into the season that we're hoping for, we can never truly really invest in the now. We can never truly give ourselves into the now, right? So if we are here right now and this is our vision, our goal, our dreams, our happiness, our spot, the place that we want to get to, you know, if our focus and our intention, our heart investment is in this place, we neglect the now, don't we? We neglect what God wants to do in us and what God wants to do through us right now. And who knows that God is the God of the journey? You know, sometimes our attention, our heart, our focus is on the destination. But I can tell you that God is the God of the journey. And it's in the journey. It's in the ups and downs of life. It's in the seasons that we go through to get to our destination that God really grows us and that God really changes us. And if our heart and our attention is invested in the destination, we neglect the journey and we neglect what God wants to do us. And God is the God of the journey. So I have this, again, I don't know if this is the correct term because I'm not very good at science. Is it called a hypothesis when you're like putting it out there to be tested? Okay, so I have this hypothesis for you this morning, right? That happiness and contentment is found not in seeing our promises fulfilled or our goals achieved. It is found in living the life that God has called you to in every season. Happiness is found in living life with purpose and fruitfulness, right? In every season. That it's not only found in what you want to do or where you want to be someday, but it's found in who you are and what you are doing today. Okay? So that's my hypothesis to you. And I want to tell you, I want to share this passage of scripture with you that's really been speaking to me about how, you know, it's good, and I'm the biggest dreamer that there was. I could have like 50 dreams for all of you right now. Like, I love dreams and I get crazy carried away with these crazy dreams. So I'm the biggest dreamer, right? And I think that that is important. But if our focus and attention and heart is on that, we can neglect what God is doing right now, what God wants to achieve right through us right now. And so I want to turn to a passage of scripture, Jeremiah 29. And I want to kind of look at that. And again, I'll be quick for you guys because I know the service has gone for a little while already. But in Jeremiah 29, basically what we've got is a group of people that have been in Jerusalem. They've been living in Jerusalem, and they've been exiled to Babylon, right? So this is where we pick up the scripture that I'm about to read. This group of people are living in Jerusalem. They've been exiled to this place in Babylon, and they're calling out and crying out to God to come and save them, to bring them out of this captivity, to take them out of exile and take them back into their promised land, to take them back into their happy place, right? So they're right here. They're in exile. They're captive. They're not happy. They're thinking, God, just get us out of here. God, we don't want to be here. This is, we've been promised this. This is our promise. And we've been taken into exile. We're in captivity. You know, we're trapped. We're stuck here. These are not our people. We've had to change our customs. We've had to change our clothing. We've had to do this. These are not our people. This is not our place. I'm not in my happy place. Has anyone ever said that before? I'm not in my happy place right now, right? So these people are here, they're exiled, and they're dreaming, and they're wanting to get back to their promised land. They're wanting to get back to where they're comfortable, to where their promise is, to where their happiness is, right? And I don't know, even as I'm speaking here in this room, I can guess that there's various people who may identify with those words, exile, captivity. You know, maybe it's for your whole life. Maybe it's for a section of your life. Maybe it's one part of your life. Maybe it's a person in your life. And those words of being trapped and confined and not in a place where you want to be, not feeling happy, you know, to all of us to some degree can relate to us in some part, can't it, right? And so these people are here and they're crying out to God and they're saying, God, take us back. Take us back. We don't want to be here. And so we'll pick it up in Jeremiah 29 verses 1. It says that, so Jeremiah has written a letter to these people on behalf of God, to the people who were exiled. So Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who'd been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This is after King Jehoshaphat, the queen mother, the court officials, and the other officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. He sent the letter with Elasar, the son of Shaphan. He sent the letter. All right, we got that. This is Jeremiah's letter. So picking up in verse 4, he says, "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon for Jerusalem, to all those people in captivity who've been exiled. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food that they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have grandchildren. Multiply, don't dwindle away." And so he says to these people who are crying out to him, this is what God is saying to him, to these people who are crying out to him in their place of captivity, in this season they don't want to be in this place of exile that they don't want to be in, who are dreaming about being in this other place, he says, stop. I want you to stay there. I want you to build homes and plan to stay. I want you to plant gardens and eat what they produce. I want you to marry and have children and then find partners for those children. I want you to multiply. Don't dwindle away. Don't dwindle away while you're in this place. And, you know, in another version it says, don't diminish. Don't dwindle away. Don't diminish in size or in strength, but be fruitful in this season that you don't want to be in. So invest yourself. While you are in this season, sow and invest yourself. Multiply. Be fruitful. Build a house. And doesn't a house speak of building a foundation? You know, plant a garden that's going to bear fruit. And who knows that fruit takes a while to grow on trees? Definitely in my house, right? So he's saying, plant a garden, plan to stay, build, multiply, be fruitful, don't dwindle away, don't diminish in size or strength. You know, and he's saying to them, prepare to stay here for the long haul, you know. He's saying, prepare to be here. Don't just think about what you had or what you want or what your future holds. But in this space, I want you to stay. I want you to invest. I want you to put your heart here. I want you to give into this space. I want you to be fruitful and to multiply. And, you know, we are people who love the destination, don't you? We love reaching our holiday destination. But the journey, particularly if you have three kids, is very difficult if you're traveling to a holiday destination, right? But the destination is the tricky part. It's the journey, and it's in the journey that we stretch and we grow. And who knows that God, as painful as it is to admit, does his best work when we're on journey. He does his best work in us when we're on journey. You know, God is the God of the valleys. He's the God of the mountains. He's the God of the desert. And he isn't necessarily concerned with what's happening ahead of our life or around of our life or what's happening over there or what's happening with your best friend's life. He's worried about what's happening in your life right now. And he wants to be concerned with your now, what you're doing now, and what he can do in you and through you right now. And so in this place of exile, God says to these people, even though you're feeling like you're captive, even though you don't want to be here, build, plant, marry, multiply. Okay, so I want you to just get that in your heart as we talk about it. God says to these people, invest where you are. Stay where you are. Don't diminish. Don't decrease in size or in you know, passion or anything like that, but to stay where you're planted. And then in verse 7, he goes on and he says, so multiply, don't dwindle away, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. And I think in the NIV it says, for if it prospers, you will prosper. Oh, look, you've got it up there. You guys are so tech savvy. Okay, so he says that, you know, like, I feel funny saying that my dad's tech savvy. Anyway, so don't, that's a side note. Okay, so he's saying, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city, for where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for if its welfare will determine your welfare. In the NIV, if it prospers, you will prosper. And you know, I was thinking about this, like, he's saying, work and seek and pray. Work for the prosperity, seek for the prosperity, and pray for the prosperity. And really, like, when you think about it, it's actually a very simple concept. Like, you're in this place, quit complaining about being in this place and start working for your prosperity. Start seeking for your prosperity and start praying for your prosperity. And it's like such a simple concept, you know. Just quit complaining about where you are. You know, you could spend the next 10 years complaining about the season that you're in, or you could get to work in the season that you're in. You could start praying and working for the peace and prosperity of the season you're in, you know. If you, like, it's like God saying, yes, you were in captivity right now. Yes, you've been exiled. Yes, you are not where you want to be right now. But quit complaining. Quit asking me to take you out of this and start praying. You know, if you right now in this room are in a place, maybe your captivity, maybe your exile is your workplace, right? And you just dread going in there. You're like, God, get me out of there. Like, I can't stand being in this workplace. Quit complaining about your workplace and start asking God to prosper your workplace, because if your workplace prospers, you prosper. It's a simple concept. If you hate going to school, if you hate going to uni, if you hate studying, quit complaining about it. It's where you are right now. Ask God, start working and asking God to prosper your school. Start asking God to prosper your study. Start asking God to prosper your lecturers, the people who are marking your exams, because if they prosper, you prosper. You know, if you're complaining about your family, if you're like up to here with your family or someone in your family, quit complaining about it. Because complaining gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. That's a quote from my granddad, right? So complaining gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. So quit complaining about it and start praying for that family member. Start praying for your family to change. Start praying God's blessing over your family. If your place of exile and captivity is your finance, quit complaining that you've got no money and start asking God to prosper you in everything that you do, that you would be fruitful and multiply in your place of captivity, in your place of exile. Ask God to prosper it. You know, if you're not happy with the way that your church runs or your connect group runs or some ministry thing that you go to, stop complaining about it and ask God to prosper it, because if this church prospers, you prosper, right? Do you get the concept? It's actually totally simple, but it's so easy for us to spend our time complaining about being in exile because our focus, our heart and our investment is on the happy place, isn't it? But if we could really build homes, if we could, I'm not saying, like, do you get what I mean? Metaphorically, build homes, if we can plant gardens, if we can invest our heart, our soul, our work, our energy into the season that we're in, no matter how hard it is, if we could do that and pray that God would prosper me in the difficulties, in the mountains, in the valleys and the deserts that I'm currently going through, if we could just quit complaining and spend our energy praying to God to prosper, who knows that God can completely change that sphere that we're in. And like it said, pray for its welfare, because that will determine your welfare. You know, like if you're in a toxic environment, right, you're also being affected by its toxicity, right? So quit complaining about the toxicity and ask God to bring blessing, to bring financial blessing, to bring peace, to bring hard work ethic, to bring whatever it is that you need. Ask God to bring it in there, because if that comes, then you be fruitful. You know, if there's a person who absolutely drives you up the walls, nuts, and I know as Christians, none of us have that, but say there was, right? A person that just drives you absolutely batty. Instead of avoiding them all the time and complaining about them and running them down and thinking in your head like, oh my gosh, that person's coming, that person. Pray for their prosperity, because if they become more like Jesus, guess what? You're going to enjoy hanging around them a bit more. Do you know what I mean? Like, for these captivities and these seasons that we cry out to God to get us out of, if we can invest our heart, if we can invest our motivation, our interest, our energy into those seasons and trust that God can do something through it, He can prosper wherever we are, right? Who knows that our God can do that? And so if we can do that, and I think that's such a powerful, simple principle, that if we can change our complaining, if we can change our negative attitude towards asking God to just bring blessing and prosperity, it can totally change our perspective about how we feel about being in exile and being in captivity, right? And so if your workplace prospers, you prosper. If your family prospers, you prosper. If your church prospers, you prosper. If the person that drives you nuts becomes more like Jesus, you prosper also. And then in verse 8, God says through Jeremiah, He says, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says: do not let prophets or fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not seen them, says the Lord. And so what had been happening in this time that the people were here in exile was that people had been coming saying that they were prophets, and they'd been saying, God's going to get you out of here anytime soon now, like just telling these people exactly what they want to hear. And God speaks very clearly to that, and He says through Jeremiah, stop listening to these false prophets telling you what you want to hear, right? I haven't sent them. They're just telling you what you want to hear. They're bringing you comfort. And so God's saying this through Jeremiah. And I think sometimes, maybe this is just me, but when you're in your place of captivity, when you're in your place of exile, when you're in your hard place and you're dreaming about your promise, you're dreaming about the place that you want to be, your dream, your vision, your dream, when you're dreaming about that, isn't it easy to come alongside people who are going to join you in a pity party, right? Who are going to see things, who are going to tell you what you want to hear. Is that just me? Do you find like we do? We gravitate towards people who tell us what we want to hear. And God's saying to these people, don't listen to the false prophets. Don't surround yourself with people who tell you what you want to hear. You know, don't surround yourself with people who are going to feed your sadness. Don't surround yourself with people who are going to feed your disappointment. Don't surround yourself with people who are going to feed your bitterness, right? Because who knows, you can be in exile and captivity because you're bitter. Yes? Right? Don't surround yourself with people who are going to feed your bitterness. Don't surround yourself with people who are going to feed your negativity. Don't surround yourself with people who are going to come and help you throw the biggest party that you've ever had. Surround yourself with people who are going to speak truth, who are going to cause you to stretch, who are going to cause you to grow, who are going to cause you to invest and to give and to build and to marry and to plant gardens in the place where God has put you right now. And I was thinking of a really simple example of this in my own life is when I was 18, I moved to Orange, and I lived in Naranja all my life before that. I've been in this church all my life. Dad had been the senior pastor for most of my life, and so I moved to Orange for university, and I went to church in Orange, and I had like my friends, and I had a few friends there that I'd kind of made through church, and I found it really difficult because it was so different. The church was so different to this church that I'd grown up in. You know, I'd grown up with calling everyone auntie and uncle, and everyone had been my family, and we were a big family, and just even the way of life, the way that we did things, the way they did the juice they used for communion, everything, you know, it was different, and it was hard, and I was away from my family, and I used to ring up home, and Dad would answer the phone. I'd be like, Dad, I don't like it here. It's not the same. They don't do things the way, you know, I've got a different heart. I'd say all this kind of stuff. And then back down the phone, Dad would be like, Jody, just watch your attitude. You know, make sure you keep a good attitude. Jody, like, how's this affecting your character? Is God trying to build you through your character? You know, think about this. And then he'd be like, you know, you've really got to just make this your home. Think about what God can do, how he can grow you, how he can impart into you differently while you're in this season. And I'd be like, put Mum on. Because I was like, I don't want to hear that. I want Mum to be like, oh, baby girl, that's all right. You come home. You come home. We love you. I know it's hard. You know, like, I needed Mum. But Dad would always, every time I rang up, sometimes I would hang up if Dad answered the phone. Because it's like, you don't want to hear those kind of things, do you? You want someone to say, that is so right. They treated you wrong. Your workplace is rubbish. Get out of there. Like, that person in your family, don't ever speak to them again because that is wrong the way they're treating you. And I mean, in some situations, yes, that word needs to be said. But I'm talking about when we gravitate towards people who feed our negativity, who feed our disappointment, who feed our bitterness, who cause us to want to be like, well, I deserve to be over here, not in captivity and exile, don't we? We gravitate towards those people. But God puts people in our life who in this space of captivity and exile, right, in this season of hardship, he puts people in our life who will challenge us, say, you know, okay, I understand that you're hurt, but maybe can you see that perhaps you could be the bigger person here? Or maybe you need to quit complaining and you need to start investing and growing and giving in this space, right? And so what in this place, in this passage of Scripture, you know, these are people who are in a sad place of exile and captivity. They're gravitating towards people who are telling them that God's going to get them out of there. And God's saying, wait a minute, I didn't send those people. I didn't send them there to give you this false hope. I sent you there to build and to marry and to grow and to plant. And this is the season that I've put you in that says that, you know, that I've sent you into this exile. This is a season that I've allowed you to be in because I want to do a work in you now, right? And so he's saying really clearly, don't surround yourself with people who tell you what you want to hear. Allow people to speak into your life. Allow people to come into your world who are going to challenge you to fix your focus on now and what God wants to do in you and through you now. Surround yourself with people who cause you to grow and stretch and move into your purpose. Because remember, operating in the purpose that God gave you, operating in all that God has called you to do right now in this space is what is going to bring you real happiness, right? Otherwise, we'll just be erring and erring and erring and erring until eternity. Then we'll get to heaven and everything will be errer, the erriest it can ever be. Okay, so surround yourself with people who cause you to grow and stretch and to move into your purpose. And then he says, this is what the Lord said. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I promised, and I will bring you home again. And this is a verse that we all know. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of all the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. And so what he's saying in this scripture, and we know this passage of scripture, don't we? Because like it's like a life scripture for so many people. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. And you know, one thing that I always say, like that's one of my favorite scriptures, but I'd never read the pretext to those scriptures before. And when you think about it in this context, like, yes, God is saying, I know the plans that I have for you. Hey, I know your start. I know your finish. I know the plans that I have for you. And my plans for you are to give you a hope, to give you a future, not to bring disaster, not to bring pain into your life, not to bring all that. My plan is to give you a hope, to give you a future, right? But first, you've got to find hope and future where you are right now. You got to see that I am a good God, and where I have positioned you in exile, in captivity, in that hard spot right now where you might feel you are, I am a good God, and in that place you can find happiness by investing, by marrying, by building, by planting, by growing, by living out all that I've called you to do in this season of life, right? So stop thinking about that season and start thinking about where you are now, because I know your future. And for you to do what you need to do in your future, in that goal, in that vision, in that place, how you live out now is going to determine when you get there and who you are when you get there, right? And that's a powerful thing. How you deal with what you are going through right now, how you overcome, how you live out this season in your life is going to determine who you are and when you are going to arrive at your destination. Right? It's in the journey that we become who we need to be all that God called us to be. And so right now in this space, in this place that you are in right now, in this hardship, in this exile that maybe you've been praying for 10 years for God to get you out of, or maybe you've been praying for 1 week for God to get you out of, right? In this place where you are right now, you can find happiness. Because what you have to do is make a decision that no matter what I'm going through, no matter how much I hate this season, no matter how much I find this difficult, I'm going to live a life every day fulfilling God's purpose and call upon my life. And when you do that, that's when you find true happiness, right? Because true happiness comes from serving God and being all that He created us to be. And so I'm going to finish up in just a minute, but I want to challenge you with that today. And I hope just that short passage that I've said to you can impart something to you today. You know, that where you are right now may not be your dream place, may not be the vision that you have, may not be the goal that you have, but let's not be people who live in the dreamland, yeah? Let's be people who live in the now and allow God to work in us now, right? Allow God to do something in us now. Allow God to partner with us now to do something powerful. And I was thinking, even as we were just watching that video of Hay, I remember at National Conference, I got Justo to just share some of his journey. And he was talking about how he and Ma really felt called to go over to Fiji. And you guys would know, because I'm sure that they'd shared that with you. And they were going to head over to Fiji, and their heart and desire was to go over there and to do that. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out that they could go. And so Justin and Ma, you know, they had this dream, this vision. They were heading towards it. They were about to hit it. But for some reason, it didn't work. And so they ended up back into this place, not that Narendra's a place of exile or captivity, but they ended up in this place of like no man's land, right? We were all ready to go. This was going to happen. This is what we're working towards. This is what we're going for, but it didn't work out. And so now we're here in no man's land, and we could stand here in this place and we could surround ourselves with people who were like, that's unfair. That shouldn't have happened. I don't know. Maybe you're not called. Like all these things, they could have surrounded themselves with people who were going to speak into the place, into how they were feeling. Does this make sense? Like they could have surrounded themselves with that. But Justin was saying he made a decision that he had a desire to serve God above his plans, above his dreams, above his future. He had a desire to serve God. And so God took that desire and planted it in Hay. And so now he's out there, and we're hearing stories of single mums who have found homes and people being baptized and people, you know, praying for revival in Hay, and people who have just come in searching for so long for family. And it all came from Justin and Ma's desire to not be disappointed in their place when things didn't work out exactly as they dreamed, exactly as they planned, because their real heart motivation was a desire to serve God in every season, to love God in every season. And I know Justin and Marta know that journey hasn't always been easy for them, but you know, that testimony and this 5-year celebration and the moving to one service a week is a testament to what God can do in every season if we choose to find happiness in serving God in whatever He puts before us, in whatever season He puts before us. And so I hope today, like, this is stirring something in you and encouraging you. I know it is to me, that whatever you are in, whatever position you are in, as far away as that may be from your goals or your dreams or your plans or what your aspirations are or your desires, whatever it is, God can use you where you are, and God can impact you, your workplace, your friends, your family, your community beyond, if you allow God to work through you and to journey with you and to grow you and to stretch you in every season. And so I want to encourage you, you know, those words that He said, to build, to plant, to marry, to multiply, Don't be someone who diminishes in the hard times. Don't be someone who loses strength, who loses power in the hard times, because your focus is not on serving God. Your focus is on the visions and dreams that you have for your life. Does that make sense to you today? So I'm going to ask you all to just stand up and I'm going to pray for you. And then Tony can come up and sing another song. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the journey, Father. And I thank you that even as your word says and the scripture says that so many of us hold on to, that you do know the plans for us, Father. You know our future, Father God. You know us more intimately than we could ever know ourselves, Father God. You know exactly what we need and when we need it. And so, Father God, in this place, Lord, for those that may feel like they're in exile, for those that feel like they may be captive, for those that are struggling with a particular area of their life that they want to get out of or they want to run away from, Father God, I thank you that you know exactly what they need, Father God. And so we pray in this space, Father God, that you would bring people alongside them, Lord, that would not necessarily encourage them in their weakness, Father God, but would help them grow in strength, Father God, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit to enable us to have the power and the courage to get through it, Father God, that they wouldn't walk into a place, Father, with a negative attitude, just thinking like, I don't want to be here, Father, but they would walk in thinking, I am blessed. Where I go, my God goes. And so I pray that this place would prosper. I pray that your prosperity would be over that family member. I pray that your prosperity would be over that person, would be over this situation, would be over this legal battle, would be over this financial problem, would be over this health situation, Father God. I thank you that your prosperity would be over that, Father, because where that prospers, I also prosper, Father God. And so we thank you for that in this place, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you would unify this congregation of people, Father, to be people that in every season chase after all that you have, Father God, to go after all you have, Father, that there would be people in this room that would plant, that would multiply, that would grow, that would have families, Father God, those that feel like they haven't really invested, those that feel like they haven't really committed, those that feel like they don't really serve, Father God, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would plant a seed in their heart right now, Father God, where they would know that they need to invest, that they need to commit, that there is going to be no more Father God, but the time is right now, Lord, that you want to do a work in them, that you want to do a work through them, that you want to cause them to stretch, that you want to cause them to grow, Father God. And I thank you that we can trust you with that, God, because you know the plans you have for our future, Father God. And so we can trust you with our now because you know our future, Lord. And so we pray that right now, Father, even prophetically, right now, Father God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work, Father God, that you would begin to light fires in people's hearts where there's been diminishing, Father God, that you would begin to light fires and sparks in people's heart where they've been living in captivity and exile and discouragement and negativity, Father God. We just pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, just fire that up right now, Father God, that we would be people that every day strive to serve you, that our heart motivation is to serve you and to live by you, Father God, not with our focus and attention on the future and whatever that may be. We give that to you, Father God, but our heart would be in this place, in this space, whatever we have going on in our world, in our place right now, Holy Spirit, you would allow us to be people who can grow deep roots, Father God, that we can grow deep roots even in the place of captivity and draw from you, Father God. So we thank you for that in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen.